Good morning. In April 2006, Jody Jenner became president and chief executive officer for Broadlands Medical Center here in Des Moines. Before his arrival at Broadlands, he was the chief executive officer and administrator of the Pipestone County Medical Center in Pipestone, Minnesota. Prior to this, he was with the Banner Health Systems and held chief operating positions in Wyoming and South Dakota. Preceding this career in healthcare, Mr. Jenner held various management and leadership positions in finance and administration with IBM Corporation. Mr. Jenner graduated with a bachelor's in economics as well as a master's of business administration from the University of South Dakota. He also graduated magna cum laude with a bachelor's in science and nursing from Creighton. He is a registered nurse and a licensed nursing home administrator. Clearly, Mr. Jenner knows a little bit about the value of higher education. However, he says his next career will be as a drummer, so you may want to ask about that. He's married. He has a grown son who is a nurse, so he's keeping it in the healthcare business. And so, if you would please, join me in welcoming Jody Jenner.
Thank you, Brad. Thank you very much. Can you hear me? Or should I talk into this? All right, either way, I'll give it a go here. Hey, thank you. It's great to be here this morning. What I think I wanted to do this morning was just share a little bit about Broadlands Medical Center, talk a little bit about the past, the present, and the future of Broadlands. I've got a PowerPoint here. I might deviate from that a little bit, but feel free to ask questions as I go along or interject. If you've got concerns, issues, just any comments in general, let me know. Along with me, I've got Mickey Steer. Mickey is Senior Vice President of External Relations at Broadlands Medical Center, too. So Mickey is heavily involved in healthcare policy for us. Obviously, there's a lot going on in the scenes at a local and a national level at this point right now for all of us in healthcare, and all of you, too, just in the private sector. But, hey, first of all, let me just share a few things about Broadlands. And I just want to kind of a bit of an overview. This might be somewhat redundant for a number of you, but a little bit about us. If you're not aware, if you haven't been around Des Moines for a number of years, but we are a hospital here in town. We've been around for about 90 years now, 85, 90 years in central Iowa. We have about 1,000 employees. Annual operating budget's about $125 million. Just to kind of put this in perspective, we're an integrated medical staff, so it means that we employ our physicians. There's a number of health systems today where the physicians are independent and on their own. But I think as we go along through this program, talk a little bit about how that helps lower costs and things like that. It just integrates the hospital and the physicians, much tighter. So more cooperation, things of that nature. One of the things that you sometimes hear about Broadlands is we've heard this misperception in the community that, you don't go to Broadlands if you have insurance. That's not true. We'll accept you if you have insurance too, but we're often known as sort of the hospital of last resort, have a history of taking care of the uninsured or the underinsured, maybe considered the last resort type of hospital. But again, we're going out and actively trying to get folks that have commercial insurance too. That helps us obviously pay the bills there. Just a couple things about some of the service line, big services that we do provide. Our emergency department is very large. We right now about one out of every five emergency visits in the metro area go through the doors at Broadlands. So actually, our emergency department, kind of put this in perspective, we have about 60,000 patient visits a year in our ER between our urgent clinic, urgent care, and emergency room. Put that in perspective, Lutheran has roughly, I think, 25,000 visits, so it's a pretty good sized hospital in an emergency department. Psychiatry, mental health is also very large component of the services there. You look at inpatient mental health, about one out of every three inpatient stays in the metro area occur at Broadlands, and that's growing. Right now we've got tremendous demand for our services, inpatient and outpatient. We have a 30-bed inpatient psych unit mental health unit. It's pretty much at 100% capacity all of the time. We also have two residential homes. And again, that's where, like, for subacute care for mental health, long-term care types of mental health needs go on there. Again, pretty much at 100% capacity all the time. And the outpatient setting, very busy. We've got, I think we did over 45,000 clinic visits last year. We have probably the largest number of psychiatrists of any hospital in the state. So, which gives you the opportunity to build on that. Okay, you've got backup support. But we've got, I think right now, I'm thinking, Mickey, what, about 10, 11 psychiatrists on staff, plus we've got about another 4 to 5 mid-level nurse practitioners and physician's assistants, and growing. Okay, and we'll talk more about that and how we're trying to grow that more in the community. So a couple big areas, ER and psych. In addition to that, you know what, one of the things that we are not, we've kind of said we don't want to be a big tertiary type of provider. We're not into like specialty care, subspecialty types of services. You know, if you need a heart valve repair or a transplant, things like that, we said don't do it at Broadlands. But if you want really good, cost-effective primary care, family medicine, those types of cares, that's what we do very well. That's what we focus on and emphasize. And we've got about 30 doctors that work in that family medicine, internal medicine world for us. Again, 125,000 clinic visits, that might not mean anything, but that's very big, very large. So primary care, keep thinking about that, you know, for Broadlands. Okay, just some other general services we do quite a bit of, okay, for needs. And this is for insured and uninsured. We do a lot of orthopedics. As a matter of fact, I don't know if any of you know Dr. Scott Neff, orthopedic surgeon that's been working in the west part of the city for a number of years. Very, very solid. Just recently came to Broadlands, moved his practice to Broadlands. We've got Dr. Brad Lehrer in oncology, who just left one of the local firms in town. Came over to Broadlands, moved his practice there. We've recruited a number of physicians from the community that are coming to work for Broadlands. And what we're starting to find is that a lot of docs want to come to Broadlands because it's not so big. You know, they have some independence. I think there's a lot of collaboration between administration and physicians. They've got buy-in. It's sort of a physician-led organization. And I think that's what patients really want, too. They want physicians and doctors and nurses, you know, making the calls in conjunction with guys like me. So see it as a strength. Kind of bottom point there, family medicine residency program. Again, we're all about medical education at Broadlands. So, you know, you look at one of the big things that goes on at Broadlands is education. We have the largest family medicine residency program in the state, probably in the upper Midwest. So we've got 28 residents in our program. We graduate about 8 to 9 of them every year. So 9 new family medicine docs come through Broadlands. 2/3 of these physicians stay in Iowa. And if you're listening to what's going on in healthcare reform right now, something that's critical is making sure there's just not enough family medicine doctors out there in this country, and certainly Iowa, you know, being a state that's very low on family medicine physicians. But 2/3 of them. So I think that's critical. We try to keep these doctors in the state of Iowa. We practice or we teach them so that they can go either into the rural settings or stay in the metro. Right now, I think we've got about 90 graduates that came through the Broadlands program that are right here in Polk County. So a lot of family medicine docs are going through the program. So kind of thinking, what relevance does Broadlands have to the community? That is certainly one of them, you know, right there. You know, history, again, some of you kind of know the history of Broadlands a little bit. Obviously, we're trying to change that. You know, we've got the history of being the safety net hospital, sort of the hospital of last resort. But we're trying to make that as also a hospital of last resort, but also a hospital of first resort. But it's been a little bit of that underdog hospital, you know, throughout the 85 years. Took care of a lot of uninsured, underinsured people would end up at Broadlands. I think we've always provided some great care there. But I don't, maybe just didn't get out there and promote ourselves enough. So it led up to a little bit of this mislabeling of who we are and what we do. I think that for a number of other reasons, too, we really started to struggle financially. I think we've always struggled financially at Broadlands, you know, trying to make ends meet. But it really culminated back in about 2006. So you look at between the years of like 2001 and to 2006, Broadlands lost about $10 million. So you come to 2006, and then we had about 4 days of cash. So it was becoming very difficult just to meet payroll. And we knew that that safety net was vital to the community. Again, I mean, there's a lot of services, psychosocial issues that we treat, medical issues and that sort of thing. So we kind of had to go back to that drawing board and you know, really come up with a new strategic plan and say, what services do we need to provide and what do we really need to concentrate on here and how do we get the operations of the place turned around, et cetera. So, you know, what did we do? And really, we were doing some things that maybe didn't fit our strategic plan of today, so we got out of trying to do any type of special subspecialty type of care. We really went back and said, let's focus on what we do best, and that's outstanding primary care. Again, family medicine, internal medicine, kind of that first line of physician. You know, that's really who we are. We also said, let's focus on some niche services, some things like, you know, things like psychiatry. That's what we do very well, and we're a big player. So those are the areas that we're really concentrating on. The emergency department, obviously, is very big. And then also focus on providing and generating, educating, and kicking out some really good family medicine residents. So that's kind of from a plan, the service offerings that we tried to do. We also started to look at internally, okay? We recognized we had to do things a little differently, okay? We're government funded, partially government funded here through local taxpayer dollars, but we had to sort of steer away from just operating as a governmental entity. We had to start operating a lot like private businesses, the private sector does. So we kind of went through this re-engineering and rebranding of Broadlands. So we looked at, you know, going through the lean process, stop doing unnecessary things, really try to become much more sensitive to patient needs. Went out, started marketing, rebranding the organization, starting in about 2006. You know, initially we had a few bumps, weren't the greatest at it, but we've learned a lot over the years. So you're starting to see some more marketing out there on Broadlands. We also, one of the big things though too, we said, you know, let's look introspectively, let's look at ourselves and say, are we really doing the best we possibly can here? You know, Broadlands, if you look at the organization, it is, you know, $125 million annual operating budget. About 40% of that money comes from the Polk County taxpayers. I mean, the taxpayers are ultimately, they're the owners, they're the stockholders of Broadlands. And I think there was maybe a bit of a sense that were we giving them the best value possible and, you know, said maybe not. I think we need to start doing better and we need to start measuring ourselves, being transparent to the community. You know, we said let's put out a report card to the community so that people can see whether or not we're providing good care, whether we're satisfying patients or not, are the financial metrics in place, things like this. So what we started was on this whole concept and idea of accountability to the community. So we started looking at five really key areas. Again, like probably a lot of you do in your own organizations, looking at the quality of the care, how do we treat our patients, what's the relationship with our employees, do we have an employee partnership going, and then are we exercising good sound financial practices there. So just a few things that are part of our scorecard. It's called the vital signs. We've got them up there right now, but we measure ourselves in a variety of ways in terms of the quality of our care. But one area is what's called, the quality indicators, but there's about five categories right now on our scorecard that we measure ourselves. Every hospital in the country has to measure themselves in some of these areas that I've got up there, things like pneumonia care. How do we treat patients with congestive heart failure? How do we treat patients coming in with having heart attacks? What are our infection rates like? You know, things of that nature. But if you look at Broadlands, you know, last year we exceeded national averages in about 90% of those categories. National hospital averages. So I think the thing that's sometimes out there is this perception that, it's Broadlands. It's the old county hospital. The care is crummy. You know, the care sucks. You know, it's no good. But it's not true. The quality of care, and this is all hospitals, it's better than, you know, what you'd see in a typical hospital. I think that's very important, and we're trying to get that message out right now. Kind of this bottom point there, there's a group, everybody comes out with studies on quality and that sort of thing, but One of the study that was done here last year, and they do annual studies on the quality of care done by the Leapfrog Group, came out last year. They rank eight, you know, hospitals anywhere from an A to an F. So the top maybe 10-15% of hospitals, for example, will get an A. So Broadlawns was received an A for the quality of care. So I think that's, you know, obviously we're proud of that and are trying to get that message out there. A couple other things, you know, obviously employee partnerships. You know, ultimately what's going to make your organization great, again, you folks know this, but it's your people, it's your employees, it's your staff. You know, we said we want employees, when they're selecting jobs, especially if they're skilled, we want them coming to Broadlawns first, because that's what's going to make us a great organization. So that partnership between management and staff has got to be a very strong one, a very stellar one. We started focusing on that, and one of the ways we measure that on a scorecard is just through employee turnover. So last year, our employee turnover, I think, was in that range of like 12%. That's about 20% lower or better than your typical hospital throughout the country. So again, there's that focus on people management. Patient satisfaction, again. You know, we started this track about 7 years ago. Patient satisfaction really wasn't very good. We were not as responsive as we could have been. But I think through a lot of education of staff, you know, focusing on measuring what do patients think of us, our patient satisfaction today regularly is equal, if not better, than a lot of hospitals around the country and in the state. So we're pleased with that. Got a ways to go yet, obviously. We're not fully through this. Accreditations, kind of the third, fourth area of the scorecard. Again, you've got to make sure that you're meeting all the regulatory guidelines, the oversight of hospitals that look at all hospitals. So there are a couple things that we have that are sort of the gold seals of approval. One of them is called, is from the Joint Commission on the Accreditation of Hospital Organizations. And historically, let's say go back 8 years ago, 10 years ago, Broadlawns struggled to get those accreditations and reaccreditations. Quite often, you'd find us on a getting conditional approvals, meaning you weren't fully approved or accredited. But again, we started putting a lot more emphasis on those areas. The most recent one we had last fall was just outstanding, and I think the lead surveyor of physicians said, you know, this really is the best public hospital he's been in, and that's not blowing smoke, but that's basically what he said. So we're pleased with that. That's a tough accreditation to get. A residency program, this ACGME, it's called the Accreditation for Graduate Medical Education Organizations. But again, we're accredited by them. It's the same organization that goes in and accredits, say, Mercy or Unity Point in their facilities, Mayo Clinic, and obviously it's critical that we get those. That's part of the vital signs. And then financials, and obviously you need all these things together to make a continual circle. But, you know, certainly you saw the numbers earlier, the financials. We knew that we had to have better financial performance if we wanted to make sure that safety net would survive. So, you know, how are we today? We're doing very well. So one of the things we said is, you know, we've got to start meeting our financial targets, not just 1 year and then missing it, but year in, year out. It's like a great sports team. You know, you meet your targets every year. You win every year. So one of the things we really started to focus on was taking cost out of the business. You know, you hear a lot about this in healthcare reform right now, bending that cost curve, bending that cost curve downward. We actually started doing that about 7 years ago. We're doing that ahead of, you know, most organizations. What you see now at Broadlawns is we've actually reduced our costs per adjusted patient day, just a measure of patient service, a metric, by about 40-45% over the last 5 to 7 years. Lowered it that much. That's significant. Very significant. Obviously, that's one of the reasons why we're at today from a financial position. But if you look at us today, our volumes are roughly double what they were 7 years ago, patient volumes. But we've got about the same number of headcount, same number of FTEs. So the way we went about this is, you know, I talked about this relationship with employees. We actually never really tried to avoid laying anybody off. We really always tried to do that, but as we grew, you know, we tried to adopt better technology and things of that nature, focus a lot on supply costs and things like that. So, which again, if your costs are low, that means your charges are low, okay? Yeah, and one of the things about this too then, yeah, your costs are low. You could say, well, you're grinding out your employees and that sort of thing. Well, obviously we're trying to be fair, and that's why we look at things like turnover. Are people leaving Broadlands? No. They're saying, oh, I want to work there because the salaries are competitive. We like the environment. We enjoy the environment. And just a few financial results. I don't want to bore you too much with the financials, but I think it's important, you know, to see. Again, met our financial targets for the seventh year in a row. Our operating margin in our fiscal 2013 that just ended July 1st or June 30th, we had a margin of about 8.5%. It means we had a bottom line gain for the year of about $10 million. Okay. Our goal is always to not ever to go back to the taxpayers and ask for more money. I mean, certainly over time we want to reduce that burden on taxpayers. But that's significant. That's very, very good. That's better than your typical hospital, public or private nonprofit hospital. Remember our days of cash? Days of cash, you were basically broke about 7 years ago. Well, today we've got about 140 days of cash in the bank. Now you could say, geez, that's a lot of money. And it's much better. You know, we're trying to be like a single A-rated company from a bonding perspective. You know, a really strong, healthy system, AAA type, you might see 300-400 days of cash. But this is basically within the realm of operations right now, and that's critical to us. And again, just some other financial metrics there. I talked about the costs and what we've done there. I talked a little bit about, you know, the issue, you know, the staffing and things of that nature. So, certainly doing things right. Technology, again, you might come into the hospital, and we did have some old technology. We didn't always have the most updated equipment there. We recognize that. But we've gradually updated that stuff over the past several years. You know, if you went in there now, what you'd find is very modern clinical equipment. You know, MRIs, diagnostic equipment, it's first class. You know, we're trying to be innovative. We invest in things that we think are going to make a difference in outcomes with patients. So, for example, mammography, 3D mammography for women with breast cancer. We're actually the first in the state to adopt 3D imaging. It gives you better diagnostic capabilities so you can diagnose cancers much more rapidly. We invested in that. Again, you know, the first hospital to do that sort of a thing. And again, usually you'd see a Broadlands being the last to do things like that. MRIs, stuff like that, very expensive equipment. One of the things, though, too, just from an IT standpoint, again, part of the efficiencies and improvements, reducing costs, was due to just the fact that, you know, we knew that we had to have decent information technology, you had to have access to good data, access to being able to measure patient outcomes, access, you know, doing things like electronic medical records. We actually have been recognized through a variety of sources just for our outstanding information technology. We were one of the first hospitals in the state to have a full-blown patient electronic medical record, and one of the first in the state. Big recognition that we've received now, excuse me, for the third year in a row is it's called Most Wired, okay? So for the third, and that goes to maybe the top, there's about 5,000 hospitals in the country, roughly. It goes to maybe the top 200, 250 hospitals around the country. So just saying, you know how to utilize technology in the care of patients. It's advanced, it's modern, and so we were recognized with that. Obviously proud of that. So the technology is solid there. One of the things also, you know, you go back, again, you guys can probably remember this, especially if you hadn't been in Broadlands for a while. You know, the building was decaying. The age of the plant was very old. Just wasn't very, very good. But 7 years ago, again, some of you may remember the whole way this thing rolled out. You know, we were originally going to go to Lutheran Hospital with Unity Point. They were going to donate that to us, but there was resistance, I think, from the east side. I didn't really feel we were worthy, but in the end, I think where we stayed turned out to be a good thing. We stayed in the north side of Des Moines. We're doing a lot of investment in that north side of Des Moines, those neighborhoods up there. I think they need us. They need us as a bit of an anchor. But what we've gone through now is a $35 million facility expansion and upgrade, improvement in the facility. And again, we did it without raising taxes. We knew there wouldn't be an appetite to go out to the taxpayers and say, hey, could you help us out here and can we increase your taxes more? We did that just through internal operations, internal funding and financing within Broadlands. If you haven't been out there in a while, we'd love to have you come out and give you some tours of the place. Or if you just need care, you know, please come out and take a look. But we've done a number of things. entirely new facade, admitting patient access areas. Just new infrastructure, things that you don't think about, generators, heating, cooling, things like that. But a brand new emergency department. Our ER is about four times the size what it was before. And again, you can see there's a tremendous amount of volume that's in there. We do a lot of psychiatric care, you know, for acute psychiatric crises in our ER, things like that. just constructed and finished up a new medical office building, brand new. So if you do want to see, you know, physicians in the clinic, you've got a good spot to go in there. Hospital rooms are all upgraded, et cetera, et cetera. So a lot of upgrades that have gone on there. So you kind of come up to where we at here today. Well, first of all, where are we at? So what you see is over the last several years, we've stabilized the operations. We feel good about where we're at today. We've taken care and we've improved the really aging parts of the organization, taken care of the emergent needs of the hospital from a facility standpoint with that $35 million investment. We still have more, though. Okay, it's not as urgent, but there are more things, and there's more things that we're planning for that campus up there. I mean, we're busting at the seams right now. Plus, we just know there's additional demand for our services, so for things like psych and mental health. So we've actually gone through a recent facility look. What are some of the other needs that we need on the campus? So undergoing a facility master plan right now. So we've looked at, identified several areas. And we've done some things saying, you know what, over time, this is a scalable plan so you can do it bit by bit. About a $45 million total project for these elements up there. But what do we want to do? We want to go to the community again. We're going to say, we're not going to the taxpayers for this stuff. We're going to fund these things either through internal operations or going out and trying to raise this money in the public. I think there's a much greater appetite for fundraising from folks when they see that you're going to be around for a while, that you're going to be a going concern. But some things that we'd like to grow in and or upgrade at Broadlands right now, and you'll probably start hearing about some of these things as an organization. We want to upgrade, improve, remodel our inpatient mental health unit and expand it. So we're at 30 beds now. We'd like to get to 44. Okay, that's our capacity. Outpatient mental health, we'd like to construct a totally new outpatient area, outpatient clinic for mental health. Right now we're at 45,000 visits a year. What we're limited by, we're just out of space. So we've got, 15 providers there, but we're just limited on space. And we know there's tremendous needs in the community and around the state. And again, the residency the clinic is about 45, 50 years old. Need to do that. And, you know, I've listed a couple other things there. So you'll start to hear more and more about some of these things here. So a little bit from the facilities. So we think overall where we at, we think we're in pretty good shape right now. I think we've, like I said, stabilized the operation. We're kind of looking forward to the future here. But while we've had some tremendous successes, we also know, you look out at the horizon, and again, just like a lot of organizations that you guys work for, you know, we've got some challenges in front of us too. You know, certainly this economy has been somewhat stagnant. You know, you're just not seeing the growth like you'd like to see coming out of recessions. So we face that as an organization, just like a lot of you do. You know, you're seeing a lot of, at the state and local level, a lot of budget cuts. There's deficits abound at a state level, at a federal level. That's all you hear about. Well, that translates into cuts in healthcare. I mean, after all, if $1 out of every $6 in our gross domestic product is going into healthcare, well, if there are going to be cuts, you know, you're not going to be spared in healthcare. So we've got a deal, you know, to try to figure out how do you do more with less money. Healthcare reform, that whole law that's out there pending right now. You can see that there's a little bit of chaos out there right now, to say the least. And we're trying to, you know, work through some of those issues, just like the rest of America is. Creates tremendous uncertainty for Broadlands right now, just like a lot of hospitals, but I think even more so for a public hospital in terms of how is this thing all going to settle out for, you know, for us, for a lot of providers. You know, I think with healthcare reform, you're going to see an even greater demand for primary care types of services. Trying to go to family medicine doctors, finding them out so you can get medical homes and be proactive in your care rather than reactive, and you know, going through your emergency room for your cares. Mental health, again, demand outstrips the supply of psychiatrists. We want to continue to grow in that area, but boy, I tell you what, though, too, it's tough finding psychiatrists. We think we have a better opportunity at Brothels just because we have that critical mass of psychiatrists right now. You know, if you're in some hospitals where they maybe have one psychiatrist, it's tough for them to recruit, because if you're that psychiatrist, you say, gee, do I want to take call every other day? You know, that's pretty demanding. You know, at Broadmont, though, you know, you've got 10 to 15 of them, providers. It makes that call not so difficult. You know, you've got backup support. So we can continue to grow in that area, and, you know, we want to provide other things like telemedicine to the outlying psych communities and that sort of thing. So a number of ongoing challenges in front of us, but, you know, again, we'll work through them, face them, just like we have here in the recent past, and be successful. But kind of just a final thought, you know, what's our ultimate goal? I think it really is to be the best public hospital in America. And we think this, we're well on our way to that. If you look at all of the metrics right now that we're measured on, you know, again, this is Polk County's hospital. Polk County taxpayers own Broadmont's. You know, we want the taxpayers to be proud of what they have as their public hospital. We want to be at the best. You know, we want to be the eyes and the ears for healthcare. So if you've got questions, you've got needs, you know, we want you using Broadmont's for those. You own us, and we want to really produce a really good product for you. So with that, I'm finished with this discussion. Any comments, questions? Then I could, yeah. Is that right? Yeah. Yeah, so is he on, he's on Iowa Care right now? Yeah, well, right now what they are going to be doing is he should be getting a letter here, first of all, within the next, Mickey, a couple weeks or so, and then what they'll do with a lot of those, if you're on Iowa Care and in Polk County, they should automatically assign you to Broadmont's, okay? If you're outside of the county, they may go in and assign you somewhere else. But if he is for some reason not, please contact us in financial counseling. You can talk to Betty Spratt or certainly Mickey Steer. Aren't you glad I volunteered you, Mickey? But we'll make sure we get you set up and you stay with us and fill out the paperwork so you can transition over to the new Iowa Health and Wellness Program or Medicaid. Right. Well, really what they're doing right now for Iowa Care, first of all, is if you had you were on Iowa Care prior to June 30th, you'll be on Iowa Care until December 31st. Now, they're not accepting any new enrollees into Iowa Care. So if you're in Polk County but you need care, we're just providing that for free. It's charity care. But there's a little bit of this transition period we're in right now. But no, effective January 1, that program will kick into place, the new Iowa Health and Wellness Program. And or Medicaid, kind of the same thing, in a sense.
Okay, so this is in your set.
Yes. Yep. Yep. And we're encouraging patients. You know, obviously, just continue to use us. Continue to see your provider, your doctor that you've been seeing at Broadmont's. Or if for some reason you weren't in Iowa Care and now you're eligible, you find you're eligible, and if you come to us, we'll help you determine that. We'll sit down. You can sit down with our counselors. And we'll sit there, take the time to, you know, look at you and make sure you're in the right appropriate program and walk you through it. Again, I know that the online systems are down right now, but we'll go through you can do paperwork, and we'll sit and walk you through that and help you fill out that paperwork and get that in. So we're ready for that. We encourage you to do that. So good question. Yeah.
Yeah, currently, I think it's about 7.5% of Polk County property tax. With the Affordable Care Act coming in, do you think that would possibly pour more money to you and tease up?
And first of all, the way it works is, I think it's like, so you're assessed $2 for every $100,000, no, $2 for every $1,000 of assessment. That's what you get in tax. So if you have, I think basically in the end, if you had a $100,000 house, it appears you're getting taxed about like $120 for that, okay, for property tax. That goes to Broadlands, okay. So we're 120 million, you know, we're probably getting 45 to 50 million from the taxpayers. So, but that's a good point. So here's where we're at. First of all, we're not sure how it's going to settle out. So these first couple of years, what we'd like to do is see how this thing settles out. If we're getting additional, if we do have additional compensation coming in, we're going to look at that and we're going to say, you know, right now, I think you have to see the financials. Our goal has always been, let's try to do this on our own so we can reduce reliance on the property tax. And that's, and actually, if you look at what's gone over the last 5 years, we actually have reduced that reliance. But yes, we'll assess that and analyze that, and if we can continue over time lower that property tax, we'll do that. One of the things that we're actually concerned about, though, right now as you get into this whole health care reform, we actually don't know how much charity care we'll continue to have. And the concern is, how many people are actually going to sign up for these exchange, you know, on these exchanges? How many are going to go sign up for health insurance? Okay, because if they don't, you know, then if they're above the requirements for Medicaid, but yet eligible for subsidies, but yet have to pay in, a lot of these patients might just say, "Forget it, I'm not going to get it." So then, if they get sick, they're going to come in. If I end up coming through, you know, the emergency department, and it'll be charity care. And again, those are the costs of care that, you know, very expensive. So it's some real tricky dynamics. We've done a number of models right now trying to estimate how we'll fare in this whole thing. You know, we're just going to play it by ear. But trying to staff and trying to determine what your patient loads are going to be, you know, you can't overstaff and hire too many doctors because that's very expensive. But yet if you don't have enough, you know, where do the patients go? So then, you know, you turn away patients and on top of it. So, but yeah, great question. Very good. Any others? Guys? Yeah.
Yeah, can you talk a little bit about your podiatry department and how it ranks in the state?
Yeah, thank you. We're very proud of our podiatry department. And actually, it was probably started by Dr. Vincent Mandrakia. And Dr. Mandrakia has been, he's been a podiatrist for probably 35 years now. But he came to Broadlands about 20 years ago, started this program. But we rank very, and you know, right now we've got, what, four really good foot and ankle surgeons. But I'd say, obviously I'm biased, but I can't say that we haven't gone out and just ranked it. But the things that we're doing are very innovative. Probably the first hospital to start doing ankle replacements. Ankle replacements are very tricky procedures, surgeries. You know, the knee pretty much just goes like, you know, like this, all right? Ankles go like this and like this and like this. And a very, very strong department. You know, we're getting, we're getting patients, a lot of patients from outside the Central Iowa region right now seeking out these services. You know, you'll see them from Sioux City. You'll see them from Dubuque. You'll see them out of state now coming. You know, we've had some, you know, coming up from Missouri, Nebraska, and the surrounding states. So, very good.
Yeah, I had a family member that had pretty extensive surgery on the foot.
Uh-huh.
And went and compared with private practice doctors in other hospitals. And they were saying 2, 3, 4 weeks,
uh-huh,
you know, recovery and blah, blah, blah. And the physician or podiatrist at your place said, a little less than a week.
Uh-huh.
And it turned out that way.
All right. Well, see, that's great to hear. But yeah, we really, we've been able to recruit some really good physicians in there. We'd encourage anybody if you've got issues like that. And so, you know, Dr. Mandrake said, but then Dr. Ben Olson and Dr. Micah Murdoch are there, and Dr. Balin. So very good, very, very good physicians. So, yeah, thanks for the comment. I'll pass it on. But be proud of it.
Yeah. Why is the image of the hospital, why do you always Well, you know, I think, and again, I've been here about seven and a half years, but I think it was more a matter of, hey, it was just the county hospital. It's where you'll take the people from the jail. Maybe this history, maybe, I don't know if it was the neighborhood, but just a number of reasons. I think the fact, though, too, that, hey, it took people that, from a socioeconomic point of view, couldn't afford insurance. And maybe they didn't have the status of patients that use some of these other hospitals.
Well, I've been there to visit you, but to make it superior care. Very nice.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's good to hear. Yeah.
How do you foresee the inclusion of required mental health coverage impacting you? Do you see other facilities expanding?
Yeah.
Giving you some relief?
I think Unity points down a little bit of expansion, but generally speaking, you see a lot of contraction. You see contraction throughout, especially in the outlying areas of the state, which then puts greater pressure on those in a metro, those places like a Broadmoor. So we sit here and sometimes, you know, we have these discussions. We plan to expand our inpatient mental health and outpatient, but sometimes the challenge, you know, you sort of want to treat your own patients local to the home, to the community you serve, but sometimes what happens then is those beds get taken up by those, you know, by the counties from the outside. But we think there's going to be ongoing pressure on that. If anything, I could see more patients. Will we have enough psychiatrists and providers? That's going to be a stretch, and that's a concern. We're continually recruiting for psychiatrists. One of the things we're also trying to do right now is start a psychiatric residency program, okay? So that when you have, if you can train your own psychiatrist, you have first pick of them then too, when they come out, okay? And you can hire them right then. But we're certainly doing everything. That's really something where we're trying to step up to the plate and say, you know, why is Broadmoor so important? I mean, that safety net. It's just because of that. We are a leader in psychiatry, and we want to keep growing in that area. But there's going to be ongoing challenges, demand on it. Yeah?
Due to your outstanding progress so far, does this make Broadmoor more desirable from a larger hospital to, say, buy you or absorb you as a company?
Oh, I think so. I mean, to a certain point, yeah. But we don't have what we do, though, is we're going to remain independent. I mean, if the taxpayers ever said, yeah, let's sell them, you could do that. I mean, and remember, as taxpayers, you vote for the board, and that's who I report to the board. So, I mean, ultimately, I report to you. But if that's what the board, the community wanted, yeah, but no, it does make us more desirable. And just like what we start seeing with our services, we're much more competitive. So now we see other systems and healthcare providers competing with Broadmoor for patients because we've done well, and which is kind of a unique thing. So, you know, we've never had anybody trying to compete with us, but, you know, kind of the new, I guess, kid on the block, so to speak. But yeah, it does. But we plan to remain independent. So, yeah.
Years ago, the state of Iowa deinstitutionalized a wide range of mental health patients. And there is this idea that we go to community-based services. I don't see the state ever having really supported communities in community-based service development, which is one of the reasons we see a shortage within the mental health field in servicing the more severe clients.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if you have any comments about how communities
Well, I mean, obviously, if you've got a stronger community-based mental health, and that's where it is, and I mean, that's where it's trying to lower costs, you know, it certainly takes up less pressure. I mean, it's more proactive care. So if you're investing in it, you're going to see fewer inpatient admissions and things like that. And that's ultimately what we're trying to do. So, for example, I talked about these residential homes. We're trying to shift and put more resource into places like that where we can treat them outside of that expensive acute inpatient. But it takes an investment, and that's what we're trying to do with that bottom line. That's why we focus on that bottom line so much, so we can put additional dollars into those programs, you know, that are community-based like that, and invest and reinvest. So,
the second yeah. comment is, at one point in time, I was not using VA benefits that I'm now.
Uh-huh.
You've been eligible for it. And you brought, I heard, you know, people tell you, they never complain about problems. I always say, my experience was, whenever I needed care and went there, it was available, and I felt like I got some of the best care available.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, what if the hospital in Des Moines gets all the types of experiences that draw on? Nobody else.
Right.
You know, so who do you think is going to have the best care, and you know how to treat those wide range of situations you need to find yourself in? So I think there are people out there who are trying to improve that image that you
that,
are talking about.
We appreciate that. You know, and again, I mean, how does this work? Well, it's just by, for example, everybody in this room trying to go out and say, yeah, we had a good experience there, and it was a good, I mean, it's word of mouth. You just can't beat that. And but yeah, you're right. We take pride in that, too. And we try to reach everybody in the community, you know, all levels of the socioeconomic ladder, and those with all kinds of needs out there. So, yeah, but it's word of mouth, so appreciate that. Yeah.
Yeah, you hear so much about the penal system being the largest, having the largest number of mental health patients, you know, in the jails.
Uh-huh.
Do you guys have an... Do you take care of the problems in the jail and the mental health?
We do. We see a lot of it. Now, the jail does have a contract. They contract with other providers, and we've helped them in the past. But sometimes, there's a number of times, that some they'll have to bring them to Broadlawn, so we do provide some of those services, too. And obviously, a lot of the psychiatric things and stuff like that will end up at Broadlawn's. So, but yeah, we'll see a certain level of that as well. So, very diverse. So,
great. One more.
One more question? Any others? Okay. Thank you very much.